This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, I don't usually do reruns on these radio programs. If I were speaking to you live, I would try to come to you with something fresh every time I speak. And for the most part, I've tried to do that with these radio programs. But if you are interested in some of the back programs, if you'll go to bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, you'll find programs back for about 5 years, and you can re-listen to them there. Now, today is Christmas Day, and of course, I've been looking at David's mighty men with regard to our lessons the last few weeks, and you'll notice that those mighty men were men who proved themselves in war. And I've been thinking about how that this being Christmas, we ought to think not about war, but about peace. And I want to read to you from Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 2, where Mary brings forth her firstborn child. And I want to notice in particular what the angels said at that time. And she, that is Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Notice that. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. This was a glorious day. The Lord had been silent insofar as the prophets were concerned, if I understand it right, for about 400 years. Israel had been anticipating the coming Messiah. This is the first coming. And just as it seems as though the Lord is silent today, those of us who do believe God has spoken to us in these last days through his Son, and ultimately through the Word of God, we are waiting for his second coming. And while it hasn't taken place yet, we are still anticipating it. And it's the thing that gives us hope and joy. But we have to understand that even when it came to the first coming was announced as a coming that was supposed to bring peace, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, this program is going to be heard on Christmas Day, and I listened to the news about a week before this, having to do with the tragedy that we're seeing unfold in Syria with those people that are caught in the crossfire in, I think it's a town called Aleppo. And I don't understand the politics of it, and I'm not taking a stand on the politics of it. But what occurs to me is that people that have wanted to rule on this earth, by and large, have done it without considering the effect they're having on the people that they want to control. They take control by force. They kill people, they kill children, they kill women, they kill civilians, and terrorism is designed to strike fear into the hearts of the people. And you'll notice that when these angels appeared to the shepherds, it struck fear in their hearts. Apparently the awesomeness of it and the unusual nature of it struck fear in their hearts. And some would say that fear is just simply a reverence, but friend, I don't think so. I think that when that this angel appeared, it struck fear of the trembling kind into their hearts, because they obviously knew they were in the presence of something they didn't understand, and in the presence of someone who was great, someone who came from heaven. He appeared as an angel. And so first we have the angel, then we have the heavenly host, but they say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And our Lord came to bring peace. These mighty men of David that we've been looking at, they were men of war, and they proved themselves as men of war. And really, isn't it interesting that our society is not designed to teach people peace? I've thought a lot about this, and I don't mean to be critical of people that are big sports fans, but when you're a sports fan, you're either a winner or you're a loser. And I remember the film that came out a number of years back, I think it was called Any Given Sunday. And in that film, the line that people remember is that on any given Sunday, you either win or you lose, but if you lose, you do it like a gentleman. But you win or you lose. You have team captains and you have competition. And supposedly, this is supposed to teach us teamwork and how to cooperate with our team members. But yet, there's always a leader and there's always a sense of competition for the top spots, it seems to me, with regard to these team competitions. And I realize that the teams that usually win are teams that work together, but they are still winners or losers. It's still competition. And it has been my understanding, biblically and psychologically and in every other way, that the only way you can have true peace is not through competition. It's through cooperation. And yet our whole society, our economic society, is based on competition. It's based on Walmart winning and the small guy losing. And our society has leading it people who are very strong-willed. And so this is not the kind of peace that the Lord was trying to bring into this world. Now, he says, when we come to the end of his ministry in John chapter 16:31, he says, these things I have spoken to you, but that in me ye may have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And this one that we follow, those of us who believe that the babe born in Bethlehem's manger was indeed the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, was when God began to work with Israel once again, was a very significant, important event with regard to the history of the world and with regard to prophetic history. Those of us who believe that realize that that babe that came to be born in Bethlehem's manger came to grow up and prove himself to be the Son of God and to die. He was born to be a man of sorrows who was acquainted with grief. And it's said of the people of the world and of the Jewish nation in particular, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And while the world only knows this business of competition, struggling for supremacy, desiring to rule, while this world only knows war, the Lord really desires to give peace, but that peace comes individually when we accept him as our Savior. The people that finally realize that Christ died for them, and he rose again the third day and promised to come again for them, those people have often say that they have a peace they never had before. The burden of their sin rolled away. That we can say, as we can understand what the Lord meant when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So there's a sense in which people will tell me that things that have bothered them all their life are no longer bothering them because they understand that Christ died for their sins, they're forgiven, and they have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. They also have the peace of God. But wouldn't it be nice if the world had peace? It's not going to have peace. Even as we look at these mighty men, we see a man by the name of Joab who's not in the list because he fought battles, but he did it in a way that David did not want him to. He killed his competing commanders in order to maintain his position in David's army. And ultimately Solomon killed him. And so he was not a man of peace, but he maintained his position at all costs. And you'll go down through the list and you'll find out that there's a man in that list by the name of Ahithophel, or by the name of Uriah, who was the father of Eliam, who was the wife of Bathsheba. And Ahithophel was the father of let's see, I've got to get this right, the father of Eliam. And so he was the grandfather of Bathsheba, and he bore a grudge. And instead of being a mighty man, he ends up going out and taking his own life. And so we look at these people, and we see that the world, ever since Adam and Eve sinned, has been a world of war. It's been a world that's not at peace, and we see that first with Cain and Abel. Cain trying to destroy Abel because Abel's sacrifice was accepted and his was not, the first religious murder. And so when we look at the world today, we see that the world is not at peace. The world is competing. The world is not cooperating, and that cooperation will not come until the Lord comes and sets up a kingdom and reigns in righteousness. And during that period, there will be no war. Won't that be something? I personally believe, and I may misunderstand this, that I'll be in the heavenly Jerusalem at that time, enjoying reigning with the Lord as he reigns on an earth that is what it should be, instead of an earth that is ruled by men of sin who are determined to maintain their rule at any cost. And so when we look at the atrocities that occurred in the Holocaust, and when we look at the atrocities that occur on our city streets today, when the police are considered the enemy instead of being considered our defenders, and when we look at the problems of gang warfare, and when we look at the problems of Aleppo, and when we look at the problems in Afghanistan, the only solution for all of that is the Lord Jesus, who was born to bring peace. But he didn't bring peace at that time because he was rejected. And yet, instead of establishing himself by force, he established himself by sacrifice, and he died for our sins. And I just hope today that you don't spend so long at the manger that you forget about the cross. And I hope that if you have appreciated the manger and the way in which the Lord came into the world, that today you also appreciate the cross and you have accepted and believed the truth that Christ did indeed die for our sins. That's what will bring you personal peace. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this lesson and upon our program. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address that I usually give you is bdcministries.faithweb.com. But you can also go to bdcministries.com and re-listen to many of these programs. Now, again, we thank you for being a part of our audience today.